And that is Dear Christians, One and All Rejoice. And this is Tuesday, Rumination Tuesday, May the 16th in the year of our Lord 2017. And with us is, of course, our good friend, Reverend Pastor Mark Smith.
Hey, Tom, how you doing today? Boy, I'll tell you, we've got a long hair of him. We better get going right away. Huh?
Oh, we better get going right away. Okay.
10 verses.
Oh, yes.
And they're all long and solid, you know.
Yeah, they're all long and solid. Of course, was it written by Martin Luther?
I think so. Yes, of course.
How did you not know that? You had to look again.
Well, just to be sure.
Yes. Well, in this hymnal, if you turn the page back, we had just done the one by Paul Spyridus, Salvation Unto Us Has Come. That's another long one.
Oh, yeah. In fact, I get these two hymns mixed up a lot.
Do you?
Yeah, I do.
Because they're each 10 verses or what?
No, it's just, I don't know, the tempo, the verbiage is similar. I don't know. I get them mixed up. I've gotten them mixed up all the time.
Yes.
They're just similar.
They died within 5 years of each other.
Uh-huh.
So
they're both good Reformation hymns.
Oh, absolutely. You know. So without further ado, stanza one.
Dear Christians, one and all rejoice with exultation springing, and with united heart and voice and holy rapture singing. Proclaim the wonders God has done, how his right arm the victory won, what price our ransom cost him.
It doesn't take long before you get to the cross. What price our ransom cost him. You know, I made a big deal about the road to Emmaus because some of the disciples believed he had risen from the dead. These two knew that the angel said he had risen from the dead, but they weren't comforted. And I was trying to figure out, why aren't you comforted if you hear that he rose from the dead? You know, a lot of individuals think that if you can show he rose from the dead, then faith will occur. But that's not true at all, because the Pharisees don't believe, and they knew he rose from the dead.
Are you saying now that the disciples on the road to Emmaus,
right,
that they knew he had risen from the dead?
You're
saying that?
Well, they say it.
Well, the women that had been there,
yes,
but they hadn't seen him.
Well, that may be. But even when they saw him, a lot of people still didn't believe.
Right, right.
So I was trying to figure out what was the problem. And I finally think I figured it out, because when Jesus begins his explanation to them on the road to Emmaus, he starts, "O foolish ones, that you did not believe that it was necessary for the Savior to suffer," etc.
Yes.
And then he goes through the Old Testament, and I'm sure he brings up all the portions of the Old Testament that talked about the necessity of the cross. But
Isaiah
more
53.
Important than that, the meaning behind it.
Mm-hmm.
So they knew he had been crucified, but they were totally flustered as to how that fit into their salvation. And so I think you really need to devote a lot of time to the meaning of the cross. And then the resurrection makes more sense, in the sense that it is a proclamation by God the Father that what had been done on the cross was sufficient. It was a victory.
Mm-hmm.
So that's what we need to be talking about to people when they talk about Jesus. Many of them talk about him as a good friend. But, boy,
That's what this hymn is all about, the necessity. The
yes.
necessity of his going to the cross,
that's
what he came to this earth to do.
And we find that when the very first stanza ends, what price our ransom cost him. So
you're not going to talk about the fact that this opening verse talks about the rapture?
Well, I was going to ask you what that meant, but I didn't want to embarrass you. What does a rapture mean?
It's talking about us being uplifted. you know, our hearts uplifted by the good news.
Yes.
That's the holy rapture we're talking about. We're not talking about being taken up.
That's right. That's right. Yes. I was going to ask you that, but I wasn't sure. I didn't
want to. Right. Yeah.
Oh, great and mighty one. All right. I'll do verse 2. Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly over me. Sin was my torment night and day, in sin my mother bore me. But daily deeper still I fell, my life became a living hell, so firmly sin possessed me. Wow, that's really...
Those are great words.
Oh.
Fast bound in Satan's chains I lay, death brooded darkly over me.
I already read it.
Right.
But... Now we need to explain it, is that that's the meaning of why he had to be crucified. Because night and day, sin was my torment. You know, that's what Satan loves to do. For example, yesterday I had a memorial service for a woman who died at 51 years old. And when I first met her, she was in the hospital, could hardly speak. Well, couldn't speak. And I gave a devotion and then asked her if she believed in Jesus Christ as her Savior. And she slowly nodded her head, yes. And she had been baptized. She had attended parochial school and stuff. And I said, look, in light of her confession, in light of her baptism, we know she's in heaven.
Absolutely.
And I said, it really doesn't matter how many sins you and I have, because our good works are never any more part of God's decision as to whether we go to heaven or hell.
That's right.
And a lot of people just don't know that.
Our sins are washed away already at our baptism.
Exactly. And in fact, they're washed away at the cross.
Right.
Yeah.
And they're applied to us personally in our baptism.
That's right. That's right. Stanza 3.
My own good works all came to naught, no grace or merit gaining. Free will against God's judgment fought, dead to all good remaining. My fears increased till sheer despair, left only death to be my share. The pangs of hell I suffered.
This is such a good sermon.
It is. It is. The whole hymn.
Yeah.
It's hard. It's 10 verses long. How can you leave any of it out?
Yes, I know.
That's my only problem with this.
No, not at all.
You just do it during distribution.
That's right. That's what I'm doing. And then I found a real short hymn after it, because also in one of our services this Sunday at Trinity, the choir is singing its final time for this year.
Uh-huh.
And so I'm going to have them sing first during communion and then do this hymn.
I suppose you could do 4 verses before the sermon and then... The remaining 6 after the week.
I did that with the hymn yesterday. What's the most greatest hymn at a funeral?
Oh, there's so many good ones.
Well, the main one that everyone uses, of course, is...
Yes.
Okay.
Which one?
I know
that my Redeemer lives.
Yes. And that's what I did. 4 verses before the sermon, 4 verses after.
Yeah, very, very good hymn. Good Easter hymn.
Great.
Good funeral hymn, too.
Yes, it is. All
that
right.
Brings tears to everybody's eyes.
Stanza 4. But God had seen my wretched state before the world's foundation, and mindful of his mercies great, he planned for my salvation. He turned to me a father's heart. He did not choose the easy part, but gave his dearest treasure. And what's his dearest treasure?
Is his son, his beloved
his
son.
His beloved son. See, this has a thing that's backed up. Again, if you were to put the verses beside all of these, I mean, there's probably 60 of them. This is the Ephesians from before the foundation of the world. And that's really interesting. Before the world's foundation, he planned for my salvation. And it was at that point that the Holy Trinity decided that the second person of the Trinity would become incarnate for one purpose, and that was in order to die. Because only human beings can save human beings. Angels sure can't. God had to become a man. Now, why God decided all these things, I don't know. You know, our task isn't to explain why God did what he did, but to reveal. And so it's just really amazing how just revealing these things, people come to faith.
Our task is not to explain, but to reveal. Yes.
It's huge.
We don't have all the answers, do we?
No, because 95% of God is hidden from us.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. We have...
The best we can do is reveal.
Yes. Well, I mentioned it last week about that Roman Catholic priest who talked about, you know, opening up a book and not being able to read it and understand it. And God says, just close it. The answers will come later. And that really works because at a funeral, you know, why did God take so-and-so? Big questions on people's minds. But he did so because he was ready for him.
Mm-hmm.
And the comfort we Christians have. I know one of the relatives told me during this time, what do people who don't believe in Jesus, where do they have their hope? And I haven't figured that out.
Yeah, they don't have much hope.
Stanza 5.
God said to his beloved son, it's time to have compassion. Then go, bright jewel of my crown, and bring to all salvation. From sin and sorrow set them free. Slay bitter death for them, that they may live with you forever.
Bitter death is, of course, not referring to our physical death, but our
eternal death, which is terribly bitter.
Yes. And I think line 4 is really something a lot of people don't know. And bring to all salvation.
Right. His cross redeemed all people.
Yes. It redeemed all people because at the cross, Father, forgive them. And that was the ones who were nailing the spikes into his body.
Yeah, it redeemed even people that will finally reject him and not be saved.
Yes.
But he redeemed them too.
Yes. Yeah, we call that distinction between objective and subjective justification. Objective is that the sins of everybody has been paid for.
That's right.
Subjective is you need to receive it through faith.
Mm-hmm.
So if you deny it or remain in unbelief, then you've made that decision to not receive it. So that's what he's talking about here. Verse 6. See how much I tell you, Jesus is in every verse. The Son obeyed his Father's will, was born of virgin mother, and God's good pleasure to fulfill, he came to be my brother. His royal power disguised he bore, a servant's form like mine he wore, to lead the devil captive. Boy, that's really interesting, that the purpose of Jesus coming was to get us out of the captivity of the devil, but to lead the devil captive.
Absolutely. To lead captivity captive.
Yes. So he obeyed his father's will to be born a virgin mother. You don't normally think about that. That he had to obey that.
That's right. The whole salvation plan.
Yes.
He obeyed perfectly.
The incarnation.
All the way to the cross.
Yes. And if you want to know what he obeyed, as I was talking about last week, they had interviewed this lady who wasn't Lutheran, couldn't understand all the Bible that she knew until she read Luther's Small Catechism. And she said, now when somebody asks me why I'm a Christian, she begins with the Apostles' Creed.
Mm-hmm.
I believe in God the Father, God the Son, God the Holy Spirit. Then they always ask, well, what do you mean by that? And then she uses the creed to explain and Luther's meaning here. And this is why a lot of people aren't Christian. It's not that they don't know the Bible, although many don't. But even those who do, it's not enough to know the Bible. You can have it memorized, like some of the scribes did, and still crucify Jesus.
That's right.
Because they don't know the meaning of the Bible. They don't listen to what I call the catechetical parts of the Old Testament, where to Adam and Eve, it was necessary that, yeah, you'll bruise the heel, but he'll bruise your head. He'll crush your head. Or, I mean, listen to Isaiah 53.
By his stripes we are healed.
And he laid on him the
iniquity of us all.
Yeah, that's all you need to know as to the purpose of the crucifixion, that Jesus became sin for us. And that changes a lot of things. For example, I was just talking to the Bible class. I said, you know, you may know the ingredients, but what's the meaning of them? And I said, okay, let's take a look at Jesus' baptism. What is the primary meaning of that baptism? And most scholars talk about that we too are to be baptized. But I say, no, that can't be, because John the Baptist's baptism was not a sacrament. It was a ceremonial law. And I had just read this a couple of years ago. Till then, I hadn't thought of this, that the real meaning of his baptism, remember John says, no, I am to be baptized by you.
And yet you come to me.
And he says, to fulfill all righteousness.
To fulfill all righteousness.
Which means the plan of salvation. And the real meaning of Jesus being baptized is that's when he became sin for
us. That's right. He took the sins of the whole world.
Exactly. And he
did
that baptism of repentance. So he then became our substitute from there on.
Mm-hmm.
And that's why he was able to die. All right.
Now, you know, a lot of people think, well, it was in Gethsemane where he took on the sins of everybody, and that's why he was so sorrowful unto death. But really, you're right. His baptism is where he made that that exchange and took our sins upon himself.
And I have a little different interpretation of the Gethsemane one, too. First of all, what he was worried about wasn't putting sins on himself, but the... my God, why have you forsaken me?
Yes, that his own father would
right.
turn
that
his back on
him. That
was
the big thing. And so when he prays, remove this cup, but not my will, but thy will, he's not talking about the crucifixion.
He's talking about the terrible suffering that he's enduring in the garden.
That he could die. It says he was near death.
Yeah, he was near death, right.
And what a prayer to ask God to remove it so he could be prepared to die on the cross instead.
Yes.
Wow. The devil would have put him to death if he had his way in Gethsemane, if he knew anything about the prophecies of the crucifixion. Number 7.
To me, he said, stay close to me. I am your rock and castle. Your ransom I myself will be. For you I strive and wrestle. For I am yours and you are mine. And where I am, you may remain. The foe shall not divide us. Comforting words.
Do you see how personal this is?
Yes,
to
isn't
me,
it,
he said.
Stay close to me.
Yeah.
You know, you almost, you picture like the Good Shepherd accompanying us through the valley of the shadow of death.
Right.
You know, I mean, in other words, you know, I'll take care of you. You stick with me. I'll make sure you get to the other side.
That's why in the memorial service yesterday, I read passages about us being the sheep and the lambs and him being the shepherd. And of course, Jesus, I think favorite psalm was Psalm 23. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Number 8.
Yeah, I'll tell you, that number 7 is a great verse, isn't it? Number 8.
Though he will shed my precious blood, me of my life bereaving, all this I suffer for your good, be steadfast and believing. Life will from death the victory win. My innocence shall bear your sin, and you are blessed forever. Now, when you first read that, he will shed my precious blood, you think it's Jesus' precious blood being shed, but it's not.
Oh, let me see that again. Let's see. Though he will shed. No, he's talking. Jesus is talking about
us.
I see.
See, the word he, is it capitalized?
No.
So it must be referring not to God.
Right.
So who's he?
Is he talking about?
Luther.
Luther's talking about who?
No.
He's talking about Luther?
Yes.
Really?
Listen, this is Jesus talking.
Okay.
Though he will shed my precious blood, me of my life bereaving, all this I suffer for your good.
Now, wait a minute. Isn't he taking that up from the last line of the previous verse? The foe shall not divide us. Though he will shed my precious blood, me of my life bereaving. Don't you think it's talking about the foe shedding his blood?
That could be. Yeah, that's a good insight. I was just testing you.
Oh, yes.
Oh, mighty one. Yeah, I hadn't thought about that.
You got to read it in context, Tom.
But who is the one who shed his blood? It was you and me.
Right.
We put him on the cross.
Right, that's right.
Life will from death the victory win. My innocence shall bear your sin, and you are blessed forever. So, yeah, he could be referring to Satan. That's a good insight. Number one after 86 weeks doing this. Okay. Verse 9. Now to my Father I depart.
Yeah, you know, this could also, this is a good one for ascension, isn't it?
Time.
Go ahead.
But don't interrupt.
What are you waiting for?
I'm starting to talk, and all of a sudden I hear another voice from heaven itself. Now to my Father I depart from earth to heaven, ascending, and heavenly wisdom to impart, the Holy Spirit sending. In trouble he will comfort you and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you. So what two festivals are being talked about here?
He's talking about ascension and Pentecost.
Very good, yes. To my Father I depart, and the Holy Spirit sending. And it is through the Holy Spirit that we are comforted. God the Father, best known as Creator. God the Son, best known as Redeemer. God the Holy Spirit, best known as Sanctifier
and Comforter.
Yes, and Comforter. Because Jesus says, I'm going to send you another
Comforter.
And that's where, in trouble, he will comfort you and teach you always to be true, and into truth shall guide you. And that's what happened in catechetical instruction, in sermons. You know, tomorrow I'm going to be giving another analogy. I like the cooking one, the ingredients, and then figure out the instructions. That the point of is that just learning the facts of the Bible isn't sufficient. You need to know the meaning of them. And that's why you should be at church every Sunday and in Bible class as often as possible, because that's where the pastor unravels the meaning to make sense out of all of these items. Would you do the final stanza, please?
What I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life and teaching. So shall the kingdom's work be wrought and honored in your preaching. But watch lest foes with base alloy the heavenly treasure should destroy. This final word I leave you.
The one word the kids won't understand is alloy.
Alloy.
And what does that mean?
Mixture,
yes,
with falsehood is
right,
what he's talking
right,
about.
Right,
don't
yeah.
mix truth with falsehood.
It's kind of, isn't that, they use that in making steel. If you get
right.
wrong ingredients in it, it's not going to be as strong. In fact, buildings have fallen because they bought cheap steel.
Right.
So what I on earth have done and taught, guide all your life in teaching. This really flies in the face of the Schwärmerei, the enthusiasts, who got, they felt they could feel God's teaching. And they didn't have to get it from Scripture.
And it was from within them.
Well, this is what we're finding today with so many people in their views on homosexuality, abortion, etc., and trying to back it up with Scripture. These are the foes with base alloy.
That's right.
And if you're in a church with a pastor like that, you better flee because you aren't being fed properly. And it
run for your life.
Run for your life. And hopefully, you'll check out a proper Lutheran church, Lutheran Church Missouri Synod, because that's where you will hear the final word. How many times do we say on here, if I ever say something you don't agree with, phone me, and if I can't find it in the Bible, change the station because I'm a false teacher. Yes. So what are you preaching on this Sunday?
Paul at Athens. Mars Hill. Yes.
Yeah.
The Acts 17.
That's right. About that unknown statue.
Right.
Yeah, the unknown God. Yeah, that's very interesting. And I'm going to use this hymn. I've already gotten it down for communion, as I said. So that's going to be good. And tell me the times of your services.
Yes. 5 o'clock Saturday evening. 5 o'clock Saturday evening. You're welcome at Prince of Peace Lutheran Church, or Sunday morning at 9 a.m. We're located at 8646 New Sappington Road, just south of the Watson New Sappington Road intersection.
And
we'd love to have you.
What are you doing for Bible study?
Bible study? We're on Isaiah. Just started Isaiah.
Wow.
Yeah. For the next 3 years. No, not really.
You know, you can spend 2 years on Isaiah 6.
Oh, you aren't kidding.
Boy, I tell you. So that's
first time I've ever taught Isaiah.
And address?
8646 New Sappington Road. Prince of Peace Lutheran Church.
Tomorrow night at Trinity Lutheran, the parochial school students are having a wonderful event where it's not going to be religious, but it's funny. And that's going to be tomorrow night, Trinity Lutheran Church, Orchard Farm, and we'll be preaching on Sunday. God bless. Till tomorrow, new insights.
Listen to Law and Gospel each weekday at this time on Worldwide KFUO. For a contribution to the program, make your check payable to Law and Gospel and mail it to Pastor Tom Baker, Post Office Box 28910, St. Louis, Missouri 63132. You can call toll-free at 1-877-267-1962 or email Law and Gospel at lawandgospel101.com. Views and opinions expressed on Worldwide KFUO may not represent the official position of the management or ownership of KFUO, the Lutheran Church, Missouri Synod. If you'd like to comment on programs or topics heard on Worldwide KFUO, write us at KFUO, 1333 South Kirkwood Road, St. Louis, Missouri, 63122. You can also leave a question or comment on our comment line at 314-996-1542. We are the messenger of good news, Worldwide KFUO.